Proverbs, please, in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to take just a little longer to share this with you because there is a principle here that I really, really would like you to get. Proverbs chapter 10. The idea is that God would have his people to not be restricted or to not be under the control of this world system and its conditions. He said, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. By the way, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. I'll just have some Bibles. They can give you one to use while you're here. So this, God would have you to live like he lives. He said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth as it is where? In heaven. So he would basically like us to live just like he lives. And I'll tell you now, the day you decide to act like your father, you're going to become a problem. People are going to have some real problems with you. And because you talk differently, you think differently, your actions are different. So Jesus, in his earthly walk, he seemed to constantly always reach to heaven for his solution. He didn't anymore look at this earth. I mean, he walked in the earth. He said, I'm in the world, but not of this world. And he constantly looked at the to the Father. And what we have been teaching on Sundays is not only is God our source, but he is our only source. And we really, really got to meditate that, because it's easy maybe to say that, but once you get into a situation, a tough situation, now how are you going to act? So look at verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 10. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, rich means well supplied, or the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Now, this is new because he said, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Sorrow is painful toil, painful toil. Now, I'm going to take a few more minutes, and I subscribe for this particular point in time, but I'd like to show you this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 very quickly. And if you can't get there quickly, just look on the board or on the screen and they'll show you on the screen. He says in Genesis chapter 3, and I start reading at verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I command you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed be the ground for your sake. In sorrow, here it is, shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life, in sorrow. And the Amplified says, in sorrow and toil, I think. It says, you shall eat of it. And it said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall you eat bread. So now what we're saying here is that this earth system, because of Adam, the curse was loosed in the earth. Adam now gets put out of the garden, and this is part of the curse that came on mankind, is that mankind now is going to have painful sorrow, painful, hard labor, sweat, just trying to get his or her needs met. And that's the condition. All right? Now, that's where mankind is today. if they don't know Christ. If Jesus is not in their lives, they're still under this kind of provision. So now Adam basically is trying to get his needs met. Now you can see what is happening here, because before, God supplied all of his need, and he didn't have to even be concerned about what he's going to eat, what he's going to drink. And that's what Jesus, of course, teaches about in Matthew chapter 6. So now people are running after provision. They're running after provision. They call it making a living. And they're running after provision. Now, you can understand that, because Adam had to do the same thing. I mean, if you look at any movies of the days of wagon trains and all this kind of stuff, I mean, they had to go after provision. They didn't have a Maytag refrigerator. I'm not trying to give, you know. They didn't have a refrigerator. They didn't have an ice box. They didn't have anything. They couldn't preserve this. They didn't have preservatives that we put in food today. They didn't have any of that. They had to go after it. And when that was old, they had to go get some more. So most of their time was spent trying to get provision, trying to make sure that the family had enough to eat. Okay? Now, remember, that was part of the curse, that your days will be spent for the most part trying to get some food, trying to get some drink, and trying to get something to eat and suffice for yourself. And therefore, what happens is people let go of their purpose, and because you can't serve too. Mankind was designed to serve the one who provided for it. His provider. And I'm saying that if that job is your provider, then that job becomes who you serve. So that job is not your provider. God is your provider. There's a channel there that God uses. So it's very important that you realize that provisions are part of your covenant right and blessing. See, the blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. And he addeth no what? Sorrow, no painful toil, no anxiety about where am I going to eat or what I'm going to drink. Paul teaches us over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said, be anxious, come on, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So he is saying, you don't have to be anxious for anything now, because you've been what? Redeemed. You've been redeemed from the curse. So you're not under this same, I gotta go get provision attitude. What do you think the lure of the lottery is? The lure of the lottery is I'm gonna finally get enough provision so I don't have to run fast. I am tired of running out here. I'm tired of trying to make a living. I mean, every time these bill collectors call and wake up with that on my mind, so forth and so on. How am I going to make it? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? This is what Jesus said. All right? So my point to you is that this is the part of the curse that you and I have been redeemed from. Galatians 3:13, put it up there, 3:13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, come on, for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that what? Hangeth on a cross. All right? Twa. So that the blessing of Abraham will come on the Gentiles. See? The blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. The blessing makes you rich. All right. Now, in this, the Jesus said over in, let's go over there, Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'm trying to squeeze all this in 30 seconds almost. Amen. All right. He says over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, that's the first place he talked about it. He said, No man can serve two masters. All right? No man can serve two masters. In other words, you're either going to master money or money is going to master you. Let's put it like that. Okay? You're either going to master money or money's going to master you. Now, I don't care how much we kick over the church benches and shout. You know, that doesn't say you're mastering money. Say amen to that. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19, money answereth all things. Yeah, see, because the things that we need, we don't have to run after provision anymore. In other words, I don't have to go out and kill a deer or kill a rabbit or chicken so I can eat. What I can do now is get money, go to the grocery store and buy the chicken and buy the venison. You see what I'm saying? Either way, I got to get some money or some rabbit. I mean, one of the two. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is provision is still on the mind because one way or another, I got to get that provision. See? And either I'm going to master money or money's going to master me. Money is going to tell me what time I'm going to get up in the morning, when, what my disposition is going to be like. Money, that's the master of money. I'm telling you, after you kick and shout and everything, go home, you mean as a rattlesnake, because those bills still looking you in the face, because money is still the master. Now, I'm telling you now, God doesn't want money to be a master. Say amen to that. He just said it here. No man can serve two masters. Two. It's going to be two. It's going to either be God or it's going to be money. All right. Now, he goes on down and says, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, going down to verse 6, behold the birds of the air. I'm taking care of them. Can I take care of you? Then he goes on down and says in verse 30, O ye of little faith. Look what he said in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or where I'm going to be clothed. For after all these things are the people who don't have a covenant seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Got it? Now, here's a key that I'd like you to remember. That all of your needs have been met, not gonna be met. And what happened is, let me just get my notes here, praise God. Yes, thank you, appreciate it. He says, seek ye first, verse 33, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Why are they going to be added to you? Because they're already yours. They're going to be added to you because they are in the kingdom already yours. And you are in the kingdom. They are already yours. They are already in the kingdom. The way he adds them to you is you've got to seek first the kingdom. Now that doesn't mean look for it and look where it is, because it's in you. And you are in it. So it doesn't mean that. It means seek how it operates. Are you with me? All right. Now let's just look at this because we need some comparison here so we can get this frame in our mind. Go look at Luke chapter 15 real quick, please. Like I said, I'm taking a few more minutes with this. You don't mind, do you? Okay. Luke chapter 15. And look at 15. And look at Luke chapter 15. Now, this is the story of the prodigal son. How many of you remember this story? All right. Luke chapter 15. All right. Now, the prodigal son said, Dad, give me what belongeth to me, my inheritance, and I'm going. I'm out of here. So he did. He left. He spent all his money. Nobody gave to him. Now he's in a place where he's feeding hogs. Then he comes to himself, says, hey, even in my daddy's house, servants have more than enough. He said, I'm going home. Went home, came home. Father saw him, ran, kissed him, brought him back in. My son, who is dead, he's alive. He was lost, he's found. And he said, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, so forth and so on. Received him safe and sound. Killed a fatted calf, so forth. Then the elder brother was in the field. He came, approached the house, and heard music and dancing, celebration. And he said, now what's going on there? One of the servants said, well, your brother who was lost, he's come home. And he said, and he got mad about it. And the father came out and entreated him, said, why don't you come on in and have a celebration with us? He said, you mean all these years I've worked for you? Well, let's look at this here. Verse 29. And he answered and said, lo, all these many years I've served you. Neither transgress I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou hast never given me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this trifling boy. No, I didn't say that. I just added that. Praise the Lord. That's Winston's translation. As soon as this thy son was come. Now he's blaming now. Which has devoured living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him a fatted calf. Now the boy did live much below his privileges. So he probably was doing some things that were not right to do. But the father forgave him. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. And all, come on, that I have, keep going, is thine. All that I have is thine. You didn't need to work for anything I have. And the son was trying to work for something that was in the kingdom that was already his. Got it? All right, let's don't stop there. Let's go to another and get another one. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 42. Now, these are pictures to build something in your mind so that you can get this operation in your life, because you're going to either serve God or mammon. And God wants you to serve him. He wants you to live independent of this world system, because the blessing of the Lord, it's going to make you rich and it's going to add no painful toil. I didn't say you're not going to work, because you're working now is going to take on a whole different dimension, because you're not going to be working for money. You're going to be working for purpose. You're going to be working to fulfill God's plan for your life. Folks, one of the key questions of Christians coming up and asking questions about God is, what does God want me to do? The search for purpose is one of the key things in the body of Christ, more so than money. It's a search for purpose, because purpose is the thing that fulfills you. All right. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 42. Are you with me? All right. Now, wait, look at me. So Joseph, here's Joseph. And Joseph goes down to Egypt. As you know, he's taken as a slave. And then he was in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's house prospered because of Joseph, because of the blessing that's on Joseph. So it's making Potiphar's house rich now, because Joseph, the blessing is on him. So now Mrs. Potiphar accuses him of some kind of sexual misconduct. And so he gets thrown in jail. It was a false accusation, but he nevertheless went in jail. Now he stayed in jail. Now the king has a problem. The king has a problem that he has a dream and nobody can interpret it. Joseph was a dream interpreter. So he was called up there. He interpreted the dream. So the king said, hey, you're the man. He said, I'm going to put you over everything. You'll be second to me. And when I pass by and you pass by in your chariot, I'm going to tell people, bow the knee. Well, you know, that's like Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So now here he is. And Joseph now has got a plan to get provision. What are those provisions going to do? Those provisions are going to allow Egypt to have plenty when the world is in famine. Amen. Got it? So God had a plan that in his house would be provision while the world was looking for food. Amen. Are you with me here? So now next comes Joseph's brothers. So here's Joseph. He's up there. He's grown up now. He's probably looking handsome with a beard or whatever have you. And he looks at the back of the line and sees somebody look like his brothers. He said, bring them up here. Brought them up there. And he said, what do you come down here to do? Spy on us? And they said, no, no, no. They didn't recognize him. He recognized them. A lot of people don't recognize Jesus is over the storehouse, but Jesus recognizes you. And so what happens here, he said, okay, listen. They said, we just came down for some food here. We got some money and so forth. So they gave Joseph the money. Joseph gave them provision. But look at verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man his money. Now, why would he restore every man his money? Why? Because it's already yours. Please hear what I'm saying. It's already yours. No, you're not convinced yet. So let's go to something else. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm whipping right through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me, come on. I can't wait too long. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for what? All things, keep going, are yours, whether a Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Those are ministry gifts of the body of Christ, or the world, or life, or death. Death means that death doesn't have dominion over you. You have dominion over death. Or things present or things to come. Keep going. All are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So everything is yours. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Psalm chapter 115, please, quickly. Psalm chapter 115. If you can't find the scriptures, write them down. He's going to put them on the board so you can verify that BW is telling you the truth. Let's go over to Psalm 115 and look at verse 16. The heavens, keep going, even the heavens are the Lord's. Psalm 115, verse 16. Come on with me here. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth, keep going, has he given, come on, to the children of men. Now, I'm just saying God has given you the whole earth. Let's go to Psalm 112. Look at Psalm 112 and look at verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, I'm only saying that because you're already in the kingdom, the things of the kingdom are already yours. One more place, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm just saying you got to get this in your spirit. You just can't read one verse. I'm giving you enough to meditate on. So this time next week, money will never be your master again. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. There are some things that are free and they're yours. All right, let's look at how the kingdom operates. Now, this is key. Let's go over to, if you will, let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Lord have mercy. John's, let's see. I don't have time. I got to get in this word because I'm trying to turn over new leaves. And amen. Let's go to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, you know the story. The story is they didn't have enough to eat. Jesus said, there's a lad here that had 2 fish and 5 loaves. He took it, lifted it up before the Lord, blessed it, and began to distribute it. And he began to distribute it to them. Now, there's something very important that I want you to see here in both places. Because once you come into the kingdom of God, you've come into a mystery. A mystery is something that is beyond human comprehension. In other words, now you're under Holy Ghost control. Yeah. Say amen to that. Yeah. You're under Holy Ghost control. Now, look what it says here in terms of verse 5. And when Jesus had lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. He said to Philip, now when can we buy bread that these may eat? He did it to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, that's what it says in that particular one. If you go to Mark, it says something different. I mean, just a little bit different. I'm just talking about it's a different arrangement. He is giving you another aspect of this. I'm saying that 200 penny worth represents 8 months' wages. It represents you have to go and work for it to get it. Jesus is going to give it to him without toil. He's going to give it to him without hard labor. That's the point that I'm trying to tell you. He knows the fact that he wants you to be attentive to your assignment. He wants you to be more cognizant of your purpose than provision. And so he's got a way to get it to you without you working yourself to death. You follow what I'm saying? You'll never do that, but he'll give it to you so you won't have to work so hard. People work, and I'm telling you, that stuff is on our mind. Next thing you know, we are talking about, you know, it's amazing what people will do when pressure comes on them. and we run down to the payday store and all that, those people down there they want your money. And that interest rate is pretty high. I don't know what it is, but it's pretty high. Am I right about it? Well, I cancel the word death in Jesus' name. Now here's the deal. Verse 6, and he said that to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, how do you think he knew what he would do? All right, Holy Ghost was helping out. This, oh Jesus, I don't have time to teach this. Lamentations, don't turn there because you can't hardly find it. Yes, you can. I shouldn't say that. William, get out. I cancel that in the name of Jesus. Okay, Lamentations, put it up on board. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 17. It says this, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Without your provision, there is no peace. I don't care who you are. Now, understand, God has provided, but I'm saying you're either going to have a revelation of it or something so you can have some peace. Because you've got a world that tries to put pressure on you to keep peace from coming to your life. Are you with me? All right, so, John chapter 6. So, in this, let me just tell you what I want to tell you and I'm out. It's needed. If you'll see how the kingdom operates and learn how the laws of the kingdom function, then you'll be able to tap into your provisions anytime you need it. It's already yours. You're just trying to get it. The provisions are already ours. I don't have to beg for this. You don't have to beg for healing. You don't have to beg to be saved. Jesus is yours. When an unserved person, an unsaved person, Jesus belongs to him. Healing is mine. I don't have to beg God for it. I don't have to do anything. It is mine. These things put away are yours. Poverty, sickness, and death. Yours. All things are yours. Now, if they're mine, I just need to know how to get them. And the way I get them is through a law. Not through begging. All right, put something right there, John chapter 6. Can I discover this? And I'm out. Look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Do y'all believe what I'm telling you right now? All right, don't sit up there and try to criticize me unless you know something better. If you know something better, I'm willing to listen to you. But until you know that, hush your mouth. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation or judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? Flesh. Keep going. But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, come on, from the law of sin and death. So there's a law that's operating. And in a law, it's something that works all the time. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Sin and death, the law of the curse is still in the earth. However, I'm operating in the law of the Spirit of life. So I can rise up above the curse. And even though the curse is still in the earth, I'm free from the curse. Now, this thing is a covenant. That's what Bishop Oedipo teaches in his text. He says it's a covenant. He said, you can't pray to make it happen. You can't cry to make it happen. You can't fast to make it happen. The only thing that'll make this happen is practice. Yes. Amen. Because it's a law. Amen. Now, I know this goes against some folk because they're still looking for a feeling. But this here's a law, and faith makes it work. Lord have mercy. All right, so let me just finish this. He said, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? Now, why did he say there's a lad here and then he flipped back all of a sudden? Why did he say that? Who led him to see that there's a lad here? The Holy Ghost. Because in this is a mystery. The seed, the Holy Ghost is leading you to your seed. Got it? Got it? Now, notice what he does. He works the law. He's showing them how it works. And the law is worked by faith, the blessing, faith in the blessing. And here he is, and it starts to multiply. Now it didn't feed 1 or 2. It fed how many? All of them. Let's go on down and see how many got fed. And verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to his disciples. The disciples of them were set down, likewise fish as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, keep going, gather up the fragments, keep going, and nothing will you lost. What did he tell them to do?
Gather.
Gather. Now, if you look at Exodus chapter 16, that's the same thing it says. It says, and God sent manna from heaven, and they went out every day and gathered. If you look over in Luke chapter 5, where Peter went fishing, he went fishing and he went out there, threw out the net and did what to the fish? He gathered them. If you look in the Bible and you even look at us here in this ministry on Sundays, we speak the word, then we call for people to be born again and we throw that net out and they come and we just gather them. God sent them there. I don't know who they are because it takes discernment to see what's going on. But I throw out the net and all of a sudden we got an altar full of people. I didn't know that was that many people. I have preached places and I called for souls. They didn't know that meant that many souls even in the church, I think. I mean, all those people come. Why? Because you got to discern the harvest. See, God doesn't hide it from you. He hides it for you, because if he leaves it out, somebody else will get it. Oh, am I right? Am I okay now? So look what he did now. He said, verse 12, and they filled, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remained that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together. Look at how much time is spending on telling you about gathering. They gathered them together and filled how many? 12 baskets, keep going, with a fragment of the 5 barley loaves, keep going, which remain over and above them that had eaten. Last place, let's go to Matthew chapter 17, please. How are we doing? I said, how are we doing? See, he's made it so that the moment you get born again, you can tap. Y'all know what I mean by tap? You can tap into this kingdom. The moment you get born again. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I just came out of incarceration. Doesn't make any difference. You got more in that kingdom than you can spend in a lifetime. This is the answer for every out-of-job person. This is the answer for every single mom with 15 kids. See, y'all looking at me, boy? See, why? Because it's good news. He came to comfort all that mourn. That's Isaiah 61. That's what I've been preaching for 8 months. Got it? See, he never meant for your job to be your provider. He meant it to be your assignment. We good to go? All right, look at Matthew chapter 17. Now, I'm going to have to cut it short on the main message then, because y'all have took up your time on this right here. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum,
They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now they're talking about paying taxes, all right? Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, but lest we should offend them, go down to the sea now and cast in a hook and stay there all day long in that hot weather, no mosquitoes, and let them. No, you didn't say that. Because there's no toil in this. There's no toil in this. Cast in a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you open his mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take it and give it unto thee, them, for me, and for thee. Peter, I want you to get a job. Because the ministry right now is not paying off like we thought. And what I'd like you to do, Peter, is I talked to a boss man down there at the plant, and he said that he's got some things that you can do. We need to keep this ministry going, Peter, because you know this is very important to us. So if you could just work part-time. Now, sometime you might have to work overtime as we get towards Christmas and so forth. No, none of that. The blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. See, you can't take this and say, well, God is sovereign now. He'll bless him and he won't bless you. That's wrong. He's sovereign to his word, and his word says give and it shall be given unto you. Now, I guarantee you it works every time, but maybe sometimes you don't discern your harvest. Because they never knew it was 12 baskets out there. Guaranteed. That surprised them. Why? Because God hides the harvest. He makes it so the enemy or the world can't discover it. But you can. I'm telling you, it'll come in interesting ways. I was in, we were coming here and we were living with a lady and we were trying to get out of the house and get our own apartment. And nothing would work. Every time we'd save some money, the car would break down or something. I mean, the enemy would stop me. So I said, I'm going to do this thing by faith. I went on about 3-day fast and just listened to God. He told me, he said, all right, declare what you want. I said, we'll be out of here in 7 days. So 6 day, I started saying, we'll be out in 6 days. My wife said, where are we going? I said, I don't know. I said, but the Holy Ghost told me to declare what I want, and I'll be out of here in 6 days. Well, where are we going? I said, I don't know where we're going. It's 5 days. We'll be out of here in 5 days. It ended up the second day from the last day. We ended up at the place in Oak Park. Went in there and told the lady. Came look at the apartments. Oh, what do you want? 3-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 1-bedroom, efficient. I said, well, let's start with the efficient. Let's just see what you got here. You know, my faith, you know, I'm kind of wavering. What happened? She said, all right. She said, now that'll be 1 month deposit, 1 month this, 1 month that. I said, let's see. Now, we got one of those, but the other one. She said, oh, that's okay. We just take that and spread it over a year. She said, all right, that'll be at least, that'll be your parking would be $55 and your gas, turn it on, that'll be $100 and so on. I said, parking, gas? She said, that's all right. We'll just give you that too. Now, I'm talking about that's my harvest. That's my harvest. It's coming in. You got to discern your harvest. Gave him praise to God. And look at this. Now, I'm just saying, don't ever think you can sow a seed and won't get a harvest. That is a strange, mixed up thought. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. God's going to do his part. Give the Lord a praise. Praise God.
Thank you.
We're going to call this lesson tonight, Faith, a Way of Life. Faith, a Way of Life. Let's look here at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we need faith to overcome who?
The world.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? One of the things we said about faith is that once you and I get faith, that faith comes into our lives, realizing that, you're born again. Once you're born again, you have what we call the measure of faith. But just because you have that measure of faith, that means you can do faith things, meaning that you can operate in a way that faith operates. You have to be taught, or the faith has to be developed inside of you. And Jesus spent quite a bit of time teaching faith. As a matter of fact, one of the main resources that Jesus used in this earth to operate with was his faith. And that's why we said no matter what the situation called for, Jesus always reached to heaven for a solution, because he was using faith to do that. Now, living by faith, it doesn't mean, like I said, you just quit your job and go down to the park district, or go down sit in the park bench and just feed pigeons. Living by faith has to do with exercising your faith every day for every single thing that you have to do in your life. That's living by faith. And it's a 24/7 proposition. So the idea is to produce heaven's atmosphere in your life. And that's what God wants to do. So if you're going to live in the kingdom of God operates by faith. You're going to have to use faith to operate there. Now, also, if you're going to live in this world, you're going to have to overcome things in this world. And sometimes people think that things are happening bad to them because maybe, they're doing the wrong thing or whatever have you. A lot of times that's not the case at all. The Bible calls Job, it calls him an upright man. Let me see what they call him in here. I want to just see what this is. It says that Job, this is Job chapter 1 now, he said that he called him a perfect and upright man who feared God, my Lord, and eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. That was Job. But look at what happened to his life. And it came into his life because the Bible says on Job chapter 3 in verse 25, it says, for the thing which I greatly feared has come to me. And that's what I was afraid of coming to me. Now, it's interesting how the enemy tries to bring fear in your life, because fear is the thing that contaminates faith and causes faith not to work in your life. So no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad it looks or whatever have you, don't fear. Amen. I said, don't fear.
Amen.
Why? God has not given us, come on, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, as you look at this, we're saying that if we're talking about faith, God wants us to develop our faith. The Bible talks in Matthew 8 about great faith. He talks in Matthew 14 about little faith. He talks in Romans chapter 4 about weak faith and strong faith. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, he talks about full of faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 5, he talks about unfeigned faith. In James chapter 1, 5, he talks about wavering faith. In James 2 and 5, he talks about rich in faith. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he talks about overcoming faith. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, it talks about exceeding growing faith. And that's where God wants you to be.
Amen.
He wants you to be in a place where your faith is growing more and more and more.
Right.
Now, faith comes in two flavors. One, in the fact that you could either have dominating faith, or even have creative faith. Even have creative faith. And faith will create. Now, what does it do? It doesn't make something out of nothing. It makes something out of something you can't see, called faith. Now, you and I have what we call eternal life. And eternal life is life that, I like it, life without limits, praise God.
Amen.
It is a life that is the life of God. And that eternal life is something that in the spirit, things are already done already. And so faith extracts what is already done and brings it back into your life. The New Testament is an account of all the things that God has already done in your life. They are already processed, they're already done, and so forth. All you have to do is show your will call slip. Praise the Lord. That's another word for you. Hallelujah. Some of y'all put something on layaway. Didn't have enough money. Put something on layaway. You need to get your slip. Your layaway slip. Will call. Hallelujah. Just thought of that myself. Okay, now, in this, New Testament describes what the benefactor left us in the will. The New Testament. That describes what the benefactor left us in the will. Now, the benefactor is Jesus. He died to get back what was lost and left it for you in the will. Now, this is the will. But it doesn't work if you don't believe it. In order to have these things, they are first placed in the Spirit. I'm taking my time here. They're first placed in the Spirit. Now, faith reaches up and takes hold of what already belongs to you, not gonna belong to you, already belongs to you, and brings it back into this physical three-dimensional world. Once you see it, faith is gone. You need no faith when you can already have it. In other words, if you can already have it physically, you don't need any faith. But faith is a thing that reaches into that realm where it's already been deposited for you and brings you that which belongs to you. Amen. Got it? No, it's already yours, but faith has to be released to go get it. And you have to release faith usually by your confession or by your action. All right. So let's look at two ways to do that. Here is Abraham. Let's go to Romans very quickly. Very quickly. Romans chapter four. All right. Romans chapter four. All right. Each time you work your faith, it'll grow. Yes. Amen. Each time you confess your faith, it develops. Yes. And so once you get to a certain point, then you release that faith and faith goes to work for you. Putting faith to work. Say that.
Putting faith to work.
It won't work for you if you don't put it to work. All right? Now, look what it says here in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not, come on, as though they were. Now, God says, I've made you a father of a multitude. Is that true? He told Abraham that. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. Where is it true? In the Word of God. And the Word of God is telling you what's in the Spirit.
Yes. All right.
This is your link to deity. Right here. And so it's telling you what's in the Spirit. Now, for Abraham to extract it, he's going to have to first confess it. Not confess what he's gonna be, because that would be a lie. He's not confessing what he's gonna be. He's whatever God says, it is now. So Abraham, confession means to agree with him. So I can't say I'm gonna be healed, because that is not true. The truth is, by his stripes, I am healed. I was healed when Jesus died on the cross. I was healed. Are you following what I'm saying? So healing belongs to me. But for me to get it, I got to release faith. Now, first, faith is being developed. When I'm first saying it, nothing is happening. I can't feel anything and so forth. Pretty soon, the image of what I'm confessing begins to form inside of me. Once it's fully developed, now my words are changing things. Got it? And I've got my clock back there. Look at what it says back there. Look at my clock back there. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Stop. Those are my people back there. Those are my people. Can y'all give me a couple more minutes here? That's good. I love it. Amen. I'm going to have that for our speakers. I'm going to put it up there. Stop now. Stop. Hold it. Give it up. All right. Now, in the process of doing that, I'm in a battle. Because the enemy can stop me if I don't have faith. Because that's what he does. He stops people. But faith overcomes the world. So I've got to keep saying it. And it usually, once I start in on this promise, things look like they're getting worse. Sure, because he's trying to get me to doubt that my faith works. So I've got to put pressure on the covenant. I've got to decree a thing, say a thing, confess a thing, even when it looks like it's getting worse. I gotta keep saying it. Keep throwing it out there. Keep saying it. Why? Because faith will overcome the world. And there is nothing too hard that faith cannot accomplish. If it won't dominate it, it will create it. And you gotta keep it going. And I'm gonna tell you, the enemy will try to make you forget to confess word, and to make you slip your confession. Oh, I haven't confessed that in several days. Why, you need to pick back up now, because it's developing a faith image inside of you. Once that's fully developed, now when you speak, power is going out and it's changing things. All right, let's just look at the rest of this. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall I see be. And being not what? Weak in faith. Underline weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Underline that one. Strong in faith, giving glory to God, being what? Fully persuaded. What do I mean by fully persuaded? The image was fully formed inside of him. When it's fully formed inside of you, you have all the confidence in the world that what God promised you, he is faithful to give it to you. And when that thing is formed inside of you, you can walk through fire, you can go through hard times, because you see something that the world can't see. Say amen to that. That's the confession. Developing it and releasing it. Putting faith to work. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 17 now. Luke chapter 17. Now, I want my people to be convinced that time clock up there does work. I just want some mercy on this time around. We're still getting used to it. Praise the Lord. Those are my people up there. Praise the Lord. Look. All right. Now, faith is a product of your spirit, not of your mind. Not of your mind. It's a product of your spirit. You got to understand that, because the force, the power comes out of your spirit. So your spirit is producing what you want. And it's already done. It's already in the spirit, folks. It's nothing that God's going to do for you that's not already accomplished. He accomplished it. Your faith is reaching out into the world of the unseen and bringing it back into your life. But the battle is the promise. You got to understand, the enemy is putting up a fight
to make you either think it's not true, it's not there, it's not for you, you ugly thing, you don't deserve it, all kinds of stuff. But he can't pull that on you because it's already yours. It's already yours. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they what?
Went,
they were what?
Cleansed.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Watch this. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, keep going, go thy way, keep going, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, what does he mean, Samaritan? He was the most rejected. Samaria was a mixture of people, Assyrians and the Jews, and they said all kinds of stuff was going on. All kinds of just sinful stuff was up there in Samaria. But he's showing you, it doesn't make any difference, that this faith is a thing that can bring you out. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying when a person has something in their past, sometimes that condemnation comes in on them and they think they're not worthy to be healed. They think they're not worthy to receive the promises of God. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that God, when he comes to you, he convicts you. The Holy Ghost convicts you of sin. He convicts you. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. He said, we're condemned already. He convicts you. Why does he convict you and not condemn you? Because condemnation will wipe out your faith. God wants to get you out of it, not leave you in it. And you need to go through the door of faith to come on out. And so conviction leaves faith intact so you can come on out of where you're in. Say amen to that. And so now here this Samaritan, and Jesus said today, they cried out, hey, have mercy on us. He said, all right, listen, all you need to do now is walk by faith. All you need to do is release your faith. And you're going to release your faith through the action that you're going to take. And what did they do? They started walking. Walking towards who? The priest. Why would they go to the priest? Why would he send them to the priest? Because in the Old Testament, when there is a leprosy or something comes on people's body, then after some things happen and they seem like they're recovering from it and whatnot, they have to show themselves to the priest for him to confirm their cleansing. Amen. Got it? Amen. So he is saying, wait a minute, even before you have any evidence of being clean yet, let's go right now. Got it? Hidden that something? And what a lot of people do, they wait on the evidence of the natural, not the evidence of faith. And they wait on the evidence of natural before they move out, and they never get it. They never get it because they're waiting too long. God is a faith God. He looks at your faith and provides your healing. Isn't that wonderful? So where you're at now in releasing your faith and to make faith work for you. And look on down to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17, and we'll close out. Luke 17, Lord have mercy. This is we're still at Luke 17, okay. At Luke 17, and look at verse, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Luke 18. All right. Look at Luke 17, and he says here, verse 3, take heed to yourselves now. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, turn again and say, hey, to thee, I repent, you shall forgive him. All right? So what is Jesus talking about? Forgiving people. So somebody has hurt you. What do you do?
Forgive.
You forgive him. You forgive him. Well, he hurt me too bad. No such thing. No such thing. Jesus could have said that on the cross. Well, they hurt me too bad. That's no such thing. Your job is to what?
Forgiven. Look what the apostle said. You're going to have to give me some more faith for this. Now, I'm paraphrasing now. I'm paraphrasing because it may be a situation that's so deep rooted inside of some people, some bitterness, until they need faith to get it out.
Yes.
Say amen to this. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and what? It should what? Obey you. Now, he's not talking about a natural tree on the outside so much, but the trees are on the inside. What's on the inside of us are images. Images that that the Father did not plant. And every plant that the Father did not plant shall be rooted up. That's Matthew chapter 15. Okay? So look at verse 7. But which of you having a servant plowing and feeding cattle, and will say unto him, by and by, when he is coming from the field, go, sit down to me. And will not rather say unto him, make ready, and wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and after you shall eat and drink. Does not he thank that servant because he has done the thing that are commanded of him? I trow not. In other words, faith is your servant. Watch this. And faith is ready to work. Don't let faith, once you get a victory in something, come in and sit down. Don't let him sit down till you leave this earth. Say amen to that. My point to you is that faith can do the impossible in your life. You cannot have a mountain too big that faith cannot move.
Amen.
Did you get something out of that tonight?
Amen.
All right. Okay, if you're here, God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to your heart about being born again.